All right, if you have your Bibles, we'll be the place we're in tonight is the beginning of Revelation 21. We've made it quite a long way, and we're to one of the parts that we like to quote over and over again. I'm glad when God knows exactly what encouragement that we need. And His Word, it not only provides direction, but it provides encouragement and hope and peace and promises and everything else. You think about a book. You know, a lot of times you go, if you see behind me when I'm filming, I've got all those bookshelves and there's a book for this and a book for that and a book for something else, you know. And if you needed something to cover every situation, you'd have to go to something bigger than a giant library, you know, to find. Yet we've got everything we've ever need right here. Isn't that amazing? And just a little short book, it tells us everything that we need. And I'm thankful for that. But Revelation 21, we'll look at the first 8 verses. It says this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this chance to worship You tonight. Lord, I pray that You would use this message tonight to help uplift us, Lord, and to help us to see the truth of what's coming, the future of this world, and the future for those that not only have trusted in You, but those who have not. And Lord, I pray that You'd help me tonight. Lord, give me strength. And Lord, I pray that You'd open up our ears and that we can take what You've got. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So at the end of chapter 20, remember, this is where Satan gets thrown into the pit forever and ever. And that's also where we've got the dead that are small and great standing before God. Everyone assembled together that has died rejecting Jesus Christ will stand before Him one day at the great white throne. And that judgment boils down to whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Every single human being that rejects Jesus Christ for salvation, they're going to stand before Jesus one day. And it says, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away. They're going to open up the books and it's going to have every sin that they've ever committed. And they will be judged according to that. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And since they rejected Christ, He never knew them. He never had a personal relationship with them. And since they never trusted in Him for salvation, their names aren't written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so they're all cast into the lake of fire. And you think about what a horrible ending in chapter 20. What a horrible ending for all that have rejected God, but it's the truth today. And that, you know, even though people don't like it, we still have to preach and teach the truth. And I'm glad that lately we've been given an extra platform to get the word out. And I, you know, you look at it and people are listening from all over the U.S. and other countries. And I believe that God is trying to get His Word out maybe one last time. Who knows if this, like Jimmy was saying, I a lot of different generations of Christian people have looked at things and said, surely the Lord's coming back is close, and I feel like it's closer than it was. But even if there's a long time until He comes back, we are a day closer towards it. And that, because we're closer, it is more and more important to get the word out and to warn those that have rejected Jesus Christ. But one of the things, you know, we don't have a lot of information about what will be in heaven, and we have touched on those things in the past, but one of the things that really strikes me about this passage is He shows us what's not going to be in heaven. And you look at verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There will be no more tears, and there will be no more tears because there will be no more reasons to cry, because there will be no more parting, there will be no more funerals, there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more pain. All of these things the Bible says will be gone. And it is hard to even imagine something like that, because our life on this earth is full of pain, it's full of death, it's full of separation and tears, and the reason is because this world is full of sin. And all of that sin has caused people to reject God and to go against God, because if everyone did according to the Bible and lived according to a righteous life, then we wouldn't have all of the pain that we see today. But mankind, God has given mankind free will, and that free will has caused many of them to work nothing but evil in their lives. And that's what we have. But in this new life, in this new heaven and new earth, there will be no sin. I can't even imagine living a life where there's no sin at all, no temptation at all. We will have a perfect body. And not only will we have a perfect body, but we'll have a perfect mind. We'll have a perfect spirit and soul. Everything will be perfect. We'll be fully sanctified. We'll be able to walk and talk and do exactly what the Lord wants us to do. And you think about it, there are many times where I want to do something for the Lord, but the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many times has this weak flesh taken over and said, no, you're too tired, you've done too much, you know, why don't you do this instead? But I'm glad there'll be coming a day when this flesh won't be fighting us anymore, and that'll be gone. There'll be no more sin and no more temptation, no more weak flesh that we have to battle in this present life. Not only that, but the devil will be locked up. There's going to be no more lies and deception from the devil anymore. And you take all the sin away, the deception away, all of the flesh away, there'll be nothing but peace and joy and love and all of that fully in truth. And I'm thankful for that. The old heaven will be gone as well, the Bible says. And many think about, well, why does God have to get rid of the heaven that's there today and replace it with a new one? Because God is going to remove every place that Satan has ever been. So he started in heaven. He was a worship leader in heaven, took care of music and singing and worship and different things like that. But then one day he decided he wanted to build his throne above God's throne, and he wanted to be higher than God. And that led him to be cast out of heaven. But we look in the book of Job that he still would come back and forth, and he would accuse the brethren. That's what he does right now. But I'm glad that once he is cast out, God is going to rebuild heaven entirely, and we're going to have a new heaven, one that Satan has never trod, and we'll never have to hear his lies, never have to see his face, none of his deception or anything else. I'm looking forward to that day, to be in a place that's never been defiled with the sins of this world. Praise God. The only thing left that will be any reminder of any sin whatsoever will be the nail prints in Jesus' hands, the spear wound in his side, and the prints in his feet, just showing us as a reminder for ever, the mercy of God that stands forever. Thank the Lord for that. Not only that, verse 8, the last one we looked at, this is Jesus speaking, and He gives us a whole big list of groups of people that won't be in heaven. And the first group that He talks about, it says, but the fearful. And that fearful doesn't mean, you know, I know some of you have different fears, and I have different fears. You know, maybe some people are afraid of the dark, afraid of spiders or snakes or things like that. But that's not what He's talking about right here. When He says the fearful, it is the people that are afraid of man's opinion, that are more afraid of what man will think and what man will see when they do something than afraid of the judgment of God. These are people that are worried about what their friends and family and co-workers will think, afraid that if they turn to Christ, they'll face persecution or be criticized or anything else. So they end up never calling upon the name of Jesus for salvation. And you think of how sad that is. People that there are people in this life that have heard the truth, that have heard the gospel, that have even been pricked in their heart, and they, you know, they realize that they're a sinner. But in all of that, the devil has convinced them that it is better to stay lost in this world and not face any criticism than to be a Christian. That's sad. And the Bible says right here, the fearful that never call on Jesus. And then not only the fearful, the next group is the unbelieving. So not just the people that don't believe that there's a God. Do you realize that atheists are just a really small minority? But the bigger group is the bigger group that believes that they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. Maybe they believe that Jesus came, and maybe He believed that He lived, and He lived a good life and was a good teacher and everything else. But they don't believe that He was God. They don't believe that He died for the sins of the world. They don't believe that He rose on the third day. Instead of believing in the Bible and the gospel and God's truth, they believe in science. They believe in logic. They believe in what men think and teach. And so you take these two groups together, and it's pretty sad. The fearful and the unbelieving. Let's go on. The next group, it says, is the abominable. This is the worst group of sinners. This is the ones that you think of just pure evil. The ones that search for evil, that look for it and enjoy it. They're people that are given over to a reprobate mind, that enjoy causing pain and suffering. And you think about it. Here, this is the group that many people expect when they think about hell and they think about the lake of fire. But this group, that they will be there. But this is the third group. Notice that's mentioned right here. You know, and the next group is murderers. Everyone who's killed another human being, everyone who over greed and lust and anger, and they'll be included in the lake of fire as well. And I tell you what, the murderers also includes every doctor that aborts unborn babies. That's murder as well. And see, this world thinks that heaven isn't real. They think that God will never punish anyone, but that is a lie. The ones that do believe in hell, they think that only those that murder somebody and those that are the most wicked will be there. But let me remind you that that is the third and fourth group. There is two groups that came before it. It's the ones that are fearful and unbelieving will be grouped in with the abominable and the murderers. And that is the biggest deception and lie that Satan has ever produced, is the fact that if you don't trust in Jesus Christ, you'll be all right. If you just, your good deeds outweigh your bad, or as long as you don't kill anybody, or as long as you don't do this certain sin or that sin. And have you ever realized whenever somebody mentions, I haven't done something, they don't include the things they have done, right? They'll pick a sin that someone else has to deal with, but not themselves. But I'm here to tell you, it is clear in the Bible that it doesn't take murder, it doesn't take a life full of sin, it doesn't take someone to be branded as wicked by this world. It merely takes you not believing in Jesus Christ and not trusting in Him for salvation. That's it. That's what the Bible says. And I'm telling you, there is a consequence for sin and rejection of Jesus Christ. So the next group is the whoremongers. Not only those that, the wickedest group, those that prey on children, but also those that have given themselves over to lust, whether it's a natural lust or unnatural. And then you can even group in those that are unmarried, living together, all the way to the sodomites and everyone in between. That group is going to be cast in the lake of fire. Do you realize this is what he's saying? The Lord is saying that there will be no fearful, no unbelieving, no abominable, no murderers, no whoremongers. They're not going to be in heaven. Those groups aren't going to be there. No matter what this world thinks, they're not going to be there. The next group is sorcerers. All those that deal with the dead, or what the Bible calls familiar spirits, fortune tellers, palm readers, horoscopes, all these things. They'll set up in a carnival. They'll set up at a fair, and it sounds like funny. It sounds like fun to deal with them, but they are dealing with the same demons that possess people and the same ones that would possess the stories that we read in the Bible. And I'm telling you what, don't open up your eyes and your mind to that stuff, because that is just one of the devil's tricks that he'll get to suck you in. And you don't believe me? Drive down to Ashley and look at the church, what they call a chapel down there. They talk to the dead down there. They're knee deep in this, and they're saying that they also believe in the Bible and Jesus Christ. Well, that's ridiculous, because Jesus said right here that no sorcerers will find themselves in heaven. So I don't care whether they like it or not. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. You don't need to deal with that. And you ever wonder why? Maybe you've seen it on TV, because TV loves to promote things like this, right? They love to say, why don't we call this psychic or whatever, and see if we can talk to dead so-and-so and see how they're doing, or whether they approve of my life, or all these things. And then they'll bring in this psychic, and they'll be amazed, because the psychic will tell them details that nobody should know. And everyone's all surprised and saying, wow, there must be some power to it. Well, I'll give you the secret. There is a power there. The same demon that followed around dead aunt so-and-so is there with the fortune teller, whispering in her ear, giving the same lies. That's all it is. I just busted the carnival trick right there. You know what it is? It's the devil wanting people to open their mind and their heart over to evil. Because if they start believing that, they'll start believing anything. And that's what he wants. He wants to draw people away. But God said, you stay away from that stuff, and none of them will be in heaven. Not only that, but another group, the idolaters, those that worship devils, idols of men's hands, everyone that, even the idols and statues that represent Jesus. The Bible tells us, it commands us not to make any graven image, and I don't care if it's a graven image of some idol you've made up, or a graven image of some saint that's died, or a graven image of what you think Jesus looks like. He says not to do any of that. Not even to represent God Himself with the statue. In fact, every time in the Bible where they tried to build something as an idol to represent God, God was furious, and God said, get it out of here. Every single time. No, you notice something? As we went through the book of Revelation, tell me how many times you saw an idol stopping God, or an idol saving this world. You don't see them at all. They get burned up with everything else, praise God. They'll be gone. In fact, I noticed something. There's an awful lot of statues to Mary out there. I don't know if you've seen them before, but I don't even see Mary mentioned in the entire book of Revelation. And you think about, John saw heaven, John saw the throne, John saw the elders, he saw God, he saw Jesus Christ, he saw the Lamb, he saw all these different groups over time, he saw the bride, he saw the New Jerusalem and everything else, and not one single time did he say, oh, this is where Queen Mary sits, or oh, this is Mary's mansion or palace or anything. He didn't mention her whatsoever. You know why? Because she's in the same group as we are, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm here to tell you, there's no big I and little you. We're all level at the cross, and praise God, you don't need to worship me. You just need to worship God, and praise God for that. This crowd of idolaters will include all the religious leaders over the centuries that were actually putting their trust in an idol. Maybe it wasn't a statue, but it was something they invented that wasn't Jesus Christ. They might have even called it Jesus Christ, but it wasn't the Jesus Christ of of the Bible. And if you change him in any way, you turn him into a false religion of your own thinking. They won't be in heaven either. And then the last group, it says liars. But it doesn't just say liars, but it says all liars. He wants to be specific there. All liars. God is a God of truth. His word is truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no place in heaven for lies or liars. And all of lies, really where they stem from, is their father, the devil. He's the father of lies. And I am glad that there will be nothing but truth. I don't know about you. I grow tired of you get emails and you have to be on guard because maybe it's someone trying to trick you. You get calls and they're trying to trick you into taking your money and everything else. This world is full of deception. I can't wait till we get to a world where there's no more deception, no more lies, but nothing but truth. And I'm glad everything that God said will be there, and nothing that God said won't be there will be there either. And it's just that simple, and I say praise God for that. But you think about it. None of these groups of people will be in heaven. They will all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And you know what the saddest part is? The devil has convinced people that, if you've ever gone to a funeral these days of a lost person, they always talk about how respectable they are, how much of a good person they were, but they probably fit into the fearful or unbelieving categories, and they're going to be in the same lake of fire as, like I said, the murderers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and everybody else. And that's the saddest thing. There are people that are living a moral life, but they're not going to the one that can forgive sins, and that's Jesus Christ. So we talked about who's not in heaven and what's not in heaven. Well, let's talk about who's in heaven for a minute. And you probably already know. Look at verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If you watched Wednesday night service, we talked about the overcomers from the first chapters of chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. 1 John 5 says that we, the overcomers, are born of God, and he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So only those that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ will be in heaven. Those are the overcomers. And not only will we get everything that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, all the letters to the churches, all the things that the overcomers will get, but here in verse 7, it says that we will also inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. I like that. It says all things. Like we said, everything God's promised, he will deliver. Everything that he has in heaven will be at our disposal. Everything in the new earth, I believe we will get to enjoy. Why? Because he loves us. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I can't wait for that day. But look back at verse 3 of the passage. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And I think about all the marvelous things about heaven and the wonders of God and all the things that's hard to even imagine. You think about all the things that won't be in heaven. We've already talked about all the worship that will be going on, the worshiping around the throne and all the things we'll get to do. And I think one of the amazing things is when you look at verse 3, we think about God dwelling with us and us being his people. And it says God himself shall be with them and be their God. And I think about what that reminds me of is fellowship. I believe one of the sweetest things, not only worshiping God and seeing God, but I believe we'll get to fellowship with God. And you're thinking, Mike, where would you get a crazy notion like that? Well, if you rewind the Bible all the way to the beginning in Genesis, there was a time when Adam and Eve, before they had sinned, where the Bible says God walked with them in the cool of the day. And I'm crazy enough to believe that we will get to walk with God in the cool of the day yet again, once the curse is gone, once sin is gone, once the separation is gone. Why? Because God has forgiven our sins through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. In the Bible, it talks about, we'll get to that later, but it says the gates are open. If you remember, when they sinned against God and he kicked them out of the garden, he closed the gate and he put an angel guarding it so they couldn't get in. And right now, we can't get into heaven because we're not there yet. But by the time we get there, whether we close our eyes in death and open our eyes in there in heaven, or He comes and takes us home, either way, when we get to heaven, the Bible says the gates are open and they'll never shut, because it's never going to be night there. I don't know about you, but it gets dark here sometimes. Not just dark in the evening, but times have gotten dark. But I'm glad that there's coming a day where we won't have to worry about this anymore. I've shed a lot of tears over the years. I've shed a lot of tears even lately, but I'm glad that there'll be a day when there'll be no more tears. I have dealt with a lot of people that have tried to bring us down, and a lot of people that have tried to, through deception and lies, and I'm sure you have too. There'll be coming a day when there's nothing but truth, and we've had to worship God through faith by far, but there's coming a day when we'll be able to worship Him face to face, and I'm looking forward to the day. God Himself shall be with them, and they'll and be their God. That blesses me to think that, you know, we call ourselves Christians because of what He's done to us and the name that He's given to us. But think about God coming the other direction and saying, "This people, this group, I'm their God." And that blesses me. I don't know about you. Praise God for that. Praise God. There's coming a day. And I don't know how many times I read it, I get more and more excited. Because this earth, like I said, all we know is pain and separation and heartache and sin and everything else. But God said, John saw a day where it was all gone. Praise God. Praise God for that. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for its truth. Lord, I pray that it was an uplift tonight. And Lord, I don't know who it's helped tonight, but I pray that You would use it and help us to be able to continue on this journey. Lord, I ask that You would use all the messages. Lord, use us as witnesses, however we can, to get the gospel out before it's too late. Lord, we pray that You'd send revival. Give us extra grace and strength in these last days. And Lord, I pray that You would help us. And Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit to do Your will. We love You tonight, and we thank You for everything in Jesus' name. And amen.